day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Sunday to you. It's Sunday, April the 14th. I got a special playoff Locked On 76ers version for you. Typically, we come out on Mondays, but we're doing it on Sunday. We had a horrible Saturday if you're the Sixers, if you're the Sixers fans. The Sixers lost 111-102 to the Brooklyn Nets. As I told you, I had my man Mark Narducci back with us doing a podcast more often than before. So what's up, Mark?
Keith, I'm doing well. In fact, I'm doing better than the Sixers right now.
Hey, man, it was horrible, Mark. I mean, it was horrible. Now, look, y'all. So in the first segment, we're going to talk about the game. And then in the second segment, we're going to talk about what the Sixers can do moving forward. Now, you know, I'm from Philly. I live in South Jersey now. You know, Mark is from South Jersey. So we're Philadelphians, if you want to include the whole area, right? That's right. I'm including South Jersey and everything. In Delaware County, every Bucks County, whatever. We're all like Philadelphians. Well, Philadelphia fans get a lot of people. I mean, people give us a lot of like flack for being hardcore fans. They started booing the Sixers midway through the first quarter. The boos got extremely loud. And then by the fourth quarter, at every stop in action, the Sixers were getting booed, right? Fans start leaving, heading for the gates, for the exits. I can't say I blame them. I mean, today, just because of, and here's the reason why I can't blame the fans. And right now the Sixers came in with such high expectations. And they really didn't deliver today. And you can look at it and you can say, okay, Joel Embiid is injured, coming back from it. You can say that they missed a little bit of shots. But it just looked like they couldn't make any stops. You know, the Sixers just had a bad performance outside of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler was tremendous with 36 points, a career playoff high. And, you know, you kind of thought that maybe he was just waiting in the weeds, you know, waiting till the regular season, pacing himself and ready for a playoff spot. And he was carrying them offensively, although Keith, I thought he was getting beaten on the defensive end, and obviously his teammates were on the defensive end by a Nets team that was really having its way, just driving to the basket whenever it felt like it, making threes better in the first half than the second half. But it was just a total all-around game. And the other thing is, I thought Joel Embiid was going to foul out both of their centers by like the third quarter. They couldn't handle him down low, but he looked tired. He did look out of shape. He hasn't played much, and he was 0 for 5 from three-point range. He was relying again on that perimeter game too much.
Yeah, and that's the thing that got me. Like early on, like you said, Jared Allen picked up two huge early fouls on Embiid. I'm talking about early. Like
in the first minute.
Yeah, the first minute. Like it was like the first two possessions on Sixers. And then all of a sudden, Joel gets tired and he turned into three-point shooting Joel. But his shot wasn't falling. They were all short. So you're saying to yourself, like, dang, they can't even take advantage of this mismatch. You know, now, the thing that kind of got me with the Sixers, like, hey, you guys, I'm just going to pause for a second. Mark and I did a video yesterday, so you guys got to check that video out. Go to Philly.com. We're doing a post-game video of the game, so check that out. And the reason why I brought that up is because when we did the video, we talked about J.J. Redick.
Right.
And, you know, it was a point where when you look at J.J., you know, J.J. was 2 for 7. He had 5 points. He was 1 for 4 in 3s. You know, that was a bad offensive performance for him. But you expect J.J. Redick to bounce back on the offensive end. But it got to a point on defense where they were singling him out. It was like, okay, let's see who J.J.'s guarding. Okay, well, we're going to give you the ball and you go to work. And when you look at that, it comes to a point, like, what type of, I mean, it comes to a point where, you know, you can't have that guy on the floor, because if he's not making shots, he's giving up a lot. You know what I mean? And that was a tough thing for me to see. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, whoa, it's getting too easy.
You know, he's on Joe Harris early. Joe hits 3 out of 4 threes early on. Then they move him over. He's on Dinwiddie sometimes. Whatever it was, I think Kenny Atkinson's a really good coach. And I think he spotted that. And he says, okay, we're going to make him pay defensively. And I think that that may have even affected his offense a little bit, Keith.
It could have. It could have. And when you look at it, Tobias was 2 for 7. He struggled again. He had 4 points. You know, Jimmy was 11 for 22. You know, Joel, like we talked about Joel. I mean, Joel, you look at it, he had 22 points, 15 rebounds, 5 block shots. I mean, you're saying he dominated. But then you look at it, he was 5 for 15, 0 for 5 on threes. You know, Ben Simmons had the most misleading stats. I mean, he had 9 points. He had 7 turnovers. He had, he had 9 points. He had 3 turnovers. He had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. But he was 1 for 6 shooting through 3 quarters. You know, Mike Scott, we talked about this before. We said in order for this team to be successful, Mike Scott has to have a big game. Yeah. Mike Scott shot 1 for 8.
From 3-point range.
And they were all threes. He's all shots, yeah. Boban was the man.
Yeah, he was their most effective player outside of Jimmy Butler. But I've got to tell you something, Keith. When you look at this game, the one guy who I thought was the most unsung guy on the floor was Ed Davis, because when Allen got those 2 fouls in the first minute, and then they kept him in, and then he got his 3rd foul. Ed Davis, to me, had a tremendous game. He was a plus 28 on the court. He had 16 rebounds, 12 points, and he was just fighting the whole game. I thought Ed Davis was just tremendous, and he was the one that had to guard Embiid.
Yeah, he was. I mean, you know, Ed Davis had a great game. But you know what? If you look at their bench, I mean, what was it? Their bench, like, basically dominated the game.
Well, they outscored them 59-26. Now, you know, LeVert and Dinwiddie, they almost play starters' minutes. Although, again, on the Nets, you rarely have players who play over 30. No one averaged at 31 minutes a game in a regular season. In this game, Dinwiddie went to 32, and Damari Carroll, another kind of unsung guy, played 33. But yeah, they, you know, when they went to the bench, they got better. When the Sixers did, they didn't get a lot of production outside of Boban, who I thought was tremendous. At one point, Keith, he had Dudley on him. He had like 8 inches on him. They were kicking it inside to him. He was making it there or drawing fouls. And then he's hitting that medium range shot. And he said to me afterwards, he says, you know, some people, they say because I'm 7'3", they don't want me shooting that shot. You got to take what they're giving him. They gave it to him, and he was hitting it.
Yeah. So in the second segment, I want to ask you, how can they improve on this? What do they do moving forward? And we'll get to that right after this break. So, Mark, how can the Sixers improve on this?
Well, they have to do better on defense. I mean, it was just like a free path to the basket that LeVert was having, Dinwiddie, and even D'Angelo Russell, who struggled, Keith. He didn't have a shot early on. But he eventually found it, by the way. And that's when the Sixers came back. They were within 4 in the 3rd period. Russell gets hot. And again, he could create any time he wanted to. So they're going to have to help out on defense. If a guy gets beaten, go over there toward him. It's a tough task. But, you know, they've got to tighten up that way. Mike Scott was saying in the locker room that it was their footwork. They have to do better footwork defensively. Well, if you're working at fundamentals and all that in the playoffs, mm-hmm. what were you doing in a regular season?
Yeah, you know, and that's the problem. I mean, the thing is, you know, you look at the Sixers team, And they made, this is the third team that they had, you know what I mean, based on, like, all the trades they made.
Right.
But when he says they got to work on their footwork, and then you're talking about, like, you still can't guard people, and I don't know, man. It was just a bad look for the Sixers today. I mean, the whole thing was. It was just a bad look. And then moving forward, you know, you're looking at it, and maybe you give Zaire Smith a little bit more minutes. I mean, you don't want to play a rookie, but it gets to a point he can defend, and, you know, they were getting exposed. I mean, they were just getting exposed out there. So, you, I mean, I hate it. I don't want to say it's panic time, but it's only one game. But the stuff that I saw looked bad. Now, again, are they going to go out there and shoot 3 for 25 on threes, you know, every day? No. But at the same time, it's like the defense was just giving up everything.
The other thing is, Keith, is a Brooklyn team that was like 24th in the NBA in free throw shooting going to hit 24 out of 26 every game? I mean, that was another thing. They were tremendous on the foul line. Whenever the Sixers would try to come back and they'd foul them and they'd make them, it was an unbelievable performance from that aspect as well.
Do you think the Sixers can win game two?
I think they have to win game two. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I think the key is going to be Ben Simmons. One of the problems is Ben Simmons gets close to the basket when he's driving, and then he dishes backwards. Yeah. He can't be doing that. He's got to finish the play off. Now, again, Keith, if you're a Sixers fan, you saw the old Ben Simmons from the free throw line today, 1 for 5. But he's got to be able to go straight to the basket and finish off drives. He wasn't doing that, and neither were his teammates. But I think Ben Simmons is going to be a major key.
Yeah, he has to play like an all-star.
Absolutely.
I mean, he does. He has to play like an all-star. And I get it. You know, the thing is, you know, these guys, you know, they're defined by what they do in big games, in the playoffs. And the playoffs is a big game. And it's not like, you know, he's going up against other. I mean, don't get me wrong. D'Angelo Russell is an all-star. But D'Angelo Russell is a guy who's a year older than him, or came out a year ahead of him in college. He should dominate that matchup. You know, Ben Simmons is 6'10". You know what I mean? He does all this stuff. Now, D'Loading is a better shooter. But at the same time, you have to step up against this team. It's not like you're going up against the Milwaukee Bucks. You're going up against the Brooklyn Nets. He has to dominate.
Yeah, and when he goes to the basket in full force, he is a tough guy to stop. And like I said, he's just stopping short too many times and kicking it backwards. And I think you're going to see, and from talking to Ben afterwards, you could see that he had that determined look. I think Ben Simmons is going to bounce back in a big way in game two.
Yeah, he's going to have to. We'll see it. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. You know, Joel, you would like to see Tobias bounce back. I mean, you know, find his groove a little bit.
Tobias has not played well. You know, this has been a while now, Keith.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he just has to find his groove. He has to get his rhythm back. But, you know, I'm wondering if it's one of those things where he's more of a he needs to get more touches to get more shots. You know what I mean? I mean, sure. To get more rhythm. I'm wondering if that's what it is. JJ has to play better. You know, Mike Scott is key for him. You know, TJ McConnell wasn't bad. But you can't have Joel at minus 17, Ben a minus 21, and JJ a minus 21. You just can't have that.
No. And to your point about McConnell, he was a plus 12.
Yeah.
And again, you know, he got some minutes, and he got early minutes, too, in this game. And maybe Brett Brown feels comfortable because he knows what he did last year, especially in that Boston series.
Yep. Well, look, man, I want to thank you for joining. I apologize, y'all. Like, I'm a little under the weather, and I hope Mark doesn't catch what I have. But I want to thank Mark for doing this kind of, like, not emergency podcast, but an extra podcast. And I want to thank you all for listening and have a great day. We'll try to come back to you guys if Mark is up for it tomorrow. I want to thank you and have a great day and peace.